Welcome to Lords of Chaos. My name is Lawrence, and I'm with my friend Zach.
What's up, man?
What's up, Zach?
Chilling, man. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here.
Yeah, dude, of course.
Like, when I heard you talk somewhere, it was, like, funny. And every time you talk somewhere, it's really funny. It's not even, because it's not, like, you're trying. You don't want, I'm going to say this to be,
yeah.
It's just, your delivery is just really funny.
Yeah, dude, life is, I've been given a pretty wild life. And it's undeniably pretty entertaining, even though it was sometimes not. Didn't feel like it at the time.
I mean,
no, I was laughing hysterically the whole time, but
in a bad way.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
I'm hardcore. Ha ha ha. Like,
yeah. You got to hee hee through the pain, you know.
Yeah. When I first met you, you had your beautiful little dog.
Oh yeah.
And I saw you as this like mild tempered, like well to do, like guy that likes to go to Grateful Dead. So I assumed, which is like wrong or not wrong, like you're this calm, mellow dude that has his dog, and you're like a chilling, grateful head dog dude. And like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then you're, and then like, you know, more revealed, you're like, damn.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It takes, I don't know who, like, sometimes it takes a lot of getting whooped to like express, like,
yeah,
you know.
Where are you from?
I'm from Baltimore. Maryland.
Man, what I hear about Baltimore is bad. Even Dave Chappelle, he's like, you know, he's like, Baltimore fucked. Everyone starts laughing because everyone there realizes why it's so bad.
It's one of those places where you literally just say you're from there and everyone has that reaction. Like,
really?
They're like, damn, I heard that place is fucked up. Or, or like, if they've been there, they just kind of like laugh like uncomfortably because it's, I think it's a lot better. I think after like the first wave, like when Freddie Gray got killed by the police and the whole city was on fire, they put a lot more like funding
into a preemptive BLM type
of thing. It was kind of like the first BLM, as far as I know. It was like 2015 or 16.
What happened?
I don't know exactly what happened. The police killed a young kid, and then
that's about all he said. I'm saying in a wrong way.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, any, you know, police killing anybody is the wrong way, but
yeah.
Yeah, I was up in New York kind of photographing a lot of the, like, marches and stuff at the time.
Cool.
And it was wild to go back there since then and kind of see that it's, like, there was just, like, miles of boarded-up houses. And I don't know if you've ever seen The Wire, but it's an extremely accurate depiction of, like, early 2000s Baltimore.
Did The Wire have Forrest Whitaker?
I don't think so.
But that was The Shield, I think.
Yeah. Okay. The Shield's by the same guy that wrote The Wire.
Okay, I was extra on The Shield.
Sick.
I was a jail cell guy. I sat in the jail cell, and
cool.
I was within like four arm's lengths from Forrest Whitaker when he walked by in the scene.
Cool.
I've obviously no speaking role, but I was like, dude, I'm in this jail cell, and it's so small. You know,
when was that? The Shield was a long time ago.
I know. I was 18.
Damn.
That's when I was on Two and a Half Men and stuff like that as a background.
Cool.
Yeah, I had one shot where I had a full face shot on Orange on the OC.
Cool.
And my friend called me, like, dude, you're fucking, congratulations. I'm like, what are you fucking talking about?
That's
he's like, dude, you're on the OC. There's a huge clear shot of me. They shot it at USC.
Damn, cool.
Yeah, I never even looked. I should probably look back for it.
Yeah.
Like, there's a total clear shot that he actually hit me up.
Yeah, screenshot that.
Yeah. So when did you first get high or start drinking? Or what preempted that? Like,
well, I was, I didn't do a drug toss 27.
Yeah.
So before that, probably from when I was like 16 or 17 to 27, I was like straight edge, going to hardcore shows and into punk rock and stuff. So it was like a pretty, I don't know, there's a lot of people that just felt very like, that's a bad part of society. We're going to do our thing without doing that.
What does straight edge mean? I've heard, like, I want a clear,
straight edge is a, you know, started like in the 80s. It's gone through a lot of like, you know, people have a lot of different opinions about like what it is or like what the requirements are or whatever. But for me, I just did not drink, didn't do drugs, didn't smoke weed. And yeah, it was just kind of this like, I don't know. I think it's in a lot of cases, people that choose to make that extreme of a decision, then when they start to get loaded, it's like pretty crazy, you know, because they're just already have this like extreme. So then it's like, all right, cool. I've been missing out on this. I'm gonna just go real hard and do this.
And you flip it. Actually, I really liked it.
Flipped hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, I flipped hard. The first time I got high, I was living in New York. I was in Baltimore, and then I was touring with this band around the country for a while. And then on Christmas Eve, they let me go, and I was not sure what to do because I'd already like quit everything and ended up in New York City, and I was delivering some stuff on a bicycle for like 6 months.
What are you delivering?
Just, you know, stuff that, just going to people's houses and delivering things and then leaving. And
sure, yeah.
Yeah. It was shows. Just, it was nothing crazy, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was out, and I was like, all right, cool. I'm in New York. Nobody knows me. I'm never going to see the same person twice. This is sick. I had, like a huge, like, ego reduction by just being, like, nobody in New York City for a long time. So I was kind of, in retrospect, I might have been moving a little bit reckless. I was kind of flashy and just ended up at this spot and got, it was, like, a miscommunication of, like, who was home or whatever. And then I got robbed in, like, a pretty semi-violent way. And then I woke up like having a panic attack in the morning. So I just signed a lease like a couple blocks away. It was like a big life move for me. And then I was like, you know, didn't know if I had been followed the whole time or whatever. You know, I'm already like kind of, I don't know. I think just growing up in Baltimore with the amount of like danger that's around, I just have like a very like from a young
age. Was
it
planned?
Like,
or was it just prompted?
So. I think it was opportunistic kind of thing.
How were you flashing? What way?
I don't know, I just had, like, jewelry. And
oh,
I was,
dude.
Yeah, just, like, I mean, not, like, crazy jewelry, but, yeah. I had these little crucifix pinky rings and this, like, Santa Muerte chain, and I was, like, whipping around and, like, parking my bike, like, at the crib, you know, outside.
Yeah. Hey!
It was probably some dudes, like, smoking a blunt. It was right by the projects on Avenue D or, like, on the other side of Houston. Yeah, it was just, you know, I just got caught slipping. And so I woke up in the morning, and I was, like, I'm going to smoke weed now. I think this is the time. Like, I tell people this for anxiety every day in my little street pharmacy fucking mode. So, but yeah, it took me like an hour to figure out how to fucking use a pipe. Cause I was like, I didn't know you had to put your finger on like the carb.
No way.
Yeah.
Come
so
on.
I was,
man.
It's like you're
breathing air. You can't, you get the carb, you gotta.
Yeah, you gotta create the suction, whatever. But I didn't know that. Cause yeah. I was like that. Like, people around me would smoke weed and shit. And I would just, I never paid attention cause it just didn't have anything to do with
it. It just looks like, yeah.
So yeah, I had my girlfriend at the time had this little pipe, and I was like burning the weed, and like
it's just at the top, just kind of like why isn't it burning?
Like, why isn't this working? And then I finally figured it out, and it was like,
yeah,
and yeah, I just like
yeah,
I just felt sativa. I felt like not anxious for the first time ever. It was a 50-50. It was Girl Scout cookies.
Got it. GSC. Yeah, got you. I got
you. I remember the little tube with the fucking art on it.
GSC. Yeah.
And yeah, I just put on some Lee Perry. I couldn't find any music that was slow enough to like not like bug me out for real. And I was, yeah, I listened to this Lee Perry record and just was like, wow, I have anxiety.
Yeah.
I didn't know I had anxiety until I didn't feel anxiety for the first time.
Just you and your girlfriend?
She wasn't home.
Oh, solo.
Yeah, she was at work. It was solo. Didn't tell anybody. And I kind of walked down the street. I ran into a friend and I was like, dude, I smoked weed. And he's like, cool, you're not straight edge anymore. And I was like, oh, fuck. This is the only way I've known myself and how everyone's known me for, like, fucking 10 years.
Did you ever think about, yo, I'm straight edge. I can't do this. Or I shouldn't do this. Or this is not my scene. This is not my thing.
While I was doing it, no, not really. I had, like, I don't know. I've just always been the kind of person where I'm, like, I never thought about doing drugs the whole time I wasn't doing drugs. And then the first time I thought about it, I was, like, cool, I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
Kind of extreme.
Did your allegiance completely flip-flop immediately?
Not immediately. I definitely got, you know, a lot of people that I was kind of crewed up and friends with were sort of bummed, and they're like, Zach's changed. But then I would see a lot of people and they'd be like, dude, you're like chill finally.
A division.
They were like, yo, this Zach is cool. Like, this Zach isn't tripping on people all the time or like talking about wanting to fight everybody all the time or whatever. So they were all like, dude, you should. I remember one of my friends in particular was like, we were in a van coming home from a show on like Long Island or something. And he was like, dude, you should be like this all the time. So I was like, oh, word. Yeah. And I just like clocked that. I was like, yeah, I'm going to be like this all the time, 24 hours a day. It also came with like immediate extreme paranoia.
Immediate. Like cops type stuff?
Not like that night. I mean, a little bit. You know, I was out doing stuff that was like semi-illegal. I know it's all legal in New York now, but it was kind of that in-between time period.
New York was slow to catch up.
Yeah, it was slow. Yeah. But like, you know, we had that like weed delivery TV show. What was that shit called? High Maintenance?
Sure.
Yeah. It was this show about this dude with a beard, kind of looked like me, on a bicycle, and he'd go to people's houses and have all these adventures and shit. And it came out like the year I like moved to New York. I remember being like on a bike, like in Brooklyn, and then looking at this like bus sign of this guy that looked just like me on a bike. And I was like, this shit's gonna get me fucking robbed, you know?
And he'll say, hey, you're that guy or something.
Yeah, people, and then every time I'd be at a person's house, they'd be like, you ever seen that show? I'm like, yeah, I've seen the fucking show. They're giving up game, you know?
It's yeah.
Snitch ass show, but whatever.
Oh, it's accurate. It was accurate.
It was accurate. Oh my God. Accurate. It was actually a really good show.
Yeah.
It was good.
Because Breaking Bad, they don't twist the pipe right with the meth.
Really?
No, I'm like, what the fuck, dude? Like they just let it like let it just burn with a regular big lighter.
They don't twist it.
That's not the way it goes. It's 10-2, 10-2. You know what I'm saying? Face is blue. You know what I'm saying? Like, dude. But
that's but, sick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never had a couple meth pipes to try to smoke DMT, but I never figured out how to use them. Never worked for me.
Sure. So like you learn the carb and then like
yeah, learned, immediate. Yeah, learn the carb, and then there was probably like 6 months of me just being like ridiculously fucking high and kind of fun.
Daily?
And, oh yeah.
Immediate.
Yeah. Right. Immediate. And yeah, it was a you know, and I would and people are always like, oh, you were high school high. That's how high I was when I was like 16 or whatever.
What's that
mean? I was 27 years old. Like just like your first time smoking weed that you get so ridiculously high that like you can't do anything and or you know just all the cliche stoner shit just yeah. like was happening and I was like oh this is funny and people would be like dude this is kind of like
yeah
this you know come on get over that you're an adult and I'm like no I'm just
experiencing oh yeah it's in your 20s too
not yeah, even 27
I'm trying to cut contact oh my god 27 yeah,
I was 27 not
like 14 30 like a lot of yeah. us are
free you know my frontal cortex fully developed
you're like, 27 that's so like I had super
like, yeah I had like quite a lot of life and the life I had was very like full of resentment and kind of you know some violence and like anger a lot of childhood anger I've never met my dad growing up in Baltimore kind of like with this weird perception and
when did your dad leave? Like why did you
never met him?
Wow. Complete
yeah.
Non-com, nothing.
Yeah, I think he when my mom was pregnant, they had something happen and then yeah, he was never in my life at all.
My mom left when I was 4. So
when you were 4.
Yeah, abandonment sucks.
Yeah, abandonment sucks. And I kinda like, you know, I was just like looking for like male role models my whole life, you know.
Did you find that in straight edge?
I definitely found it in straight edge. Yeah. I found a lot of like old, gnarly dudes who had probably been through the same shit, but just were like, I was like, oh, that dude's scary. I'm gonna find out how to be a man from him.
Did they take you as such? Like, okay, cool. Like, come on.
Yeah, 100%.
Totally get it.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I got my ass beat a lot in the beginning, but I just kind of kept coming back.
Is that part of the process, though?
Not like how like a, you know, like a gang or something like in California is. It was sort of just like at shows, you know, everybody's like mosh pitting and fucking being insane. But I would just like always come back no matter what happened.
What are the rules for a mosh pit? I've never been in one, but like I see people running around. It's like, are you purposely trying to like hurt someone to the before they go to the hospital or like
no.
What's the purpose of it? I mean,
I don't know. So it's like punk rock was like one kind of thing. And then, you know, everybody's pogoing around and bumping into each other and shit.
Just bumping. It's not like punch. It's like,
well, and then like hardcore specifically, like kind of in the 90s, like people started like, you know, spin kicking and like front flipping and like doing cartwheels into each other and like actually like hitting each other. And then when I got into it, when I was like my first show, when I was like 14, I was looking around like, what the fuck is this? Is so lame. Like they're fucking trying to hurt. You know, I was like, I would like, you know, before that I was like in one big unified group of everybody doing shit and stage diving and whatever. But yeah, in Baltimore in particular, it's a lot of older, like violent.
It's not even to celebrate, it's just to be violent, just to hurt somebody.
I mean, I don't know. It's like a safe place to like express an aggression that is you can't really do anywhere else, you know?
Yeah, I get it.
So between me and a bunch of people, it was this thing that was like, all right, cool, we're doing this thing. This is our thing we do.
You go there knowing.
It's kind of like a sacred space to like express this like wild shit. But then, you know, other people don't know what the deal is. Then somebody swings on somebody and then that person gets fucked up and then, you know, it's like one more person that doesn't go to a show or whatever.
Everybody goes in there, understands the rules. It. They know what's going on when they go in there. Like they're like silently signing a contract. Like, yo, I'm coming.
Pretty much, yeah.
That's rad. I can get it.
The Baltimore in particular. Yeah, there's actually this venue called the Sidebar that was used in The Wire as like that Irish funeral for one of the cops. So like when I saw, I was like, dude, I've gotten my ass beat in the place so many times, you know. Dude, I've like had my head thrown into that brick wall like so many times by this dude actually that had just gotten out of prison. And then I found out later that he was on The Wire wearing a shirt of the band that we were seeing. Like he was just in jail that day.
Dude.
So he's like on The Wire. It's crazy.
So Okay, I've never got my ass beat.
Cool, good.
No, I mean, like, what's it feel like? I mean, that's a real question. Like, when someone, like, what's your emotional process? Like, oh, that hurt, or like, I want to get you back, or like, what's going through your head when you get your ass beat? You know what I'm saying? While you're getting beat up.
I mean, I don't know how to show. It's like, it kind of feels like that the whole time to me, the way I was getting down, you know? So I don't know. I've never been, like, beat up where I, like, couldn't stand back up or whatever, you know? But I also, like, I don't know. Me and my friend used to say that like, life's not real until you get punched in the face really hard.
So it got really real for you.
Yeah, it got real quick. And then I was just like, all right, cool. This is it. Like, and also, like, you know, I survived that, whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, some kind of weird, like, hero's journey arc of, like, fatherless children becoming men fucking whooping on each other, you know?
What was the most hurt you got?
I mean, I've had my head split up. I had a bunch of staples in my head.
How'd it happen? What happened?
Just, like, literally, like, a low ceiling with, like, a fucking nail, like, in this little venue that we were at. Yeah, just, like...
The nail punctured...
Yeah, and I split my hand open. I broke these two metacarpals, like, the day before. I have this big scar from all these pins I got.
How?
The day before. Just, like, just... swinging around.
Fucking, you really are that dude. Head.
Yeah, I mean, I was doing...
Yeah, I believe... I'm just saying, that's my way of expressing, like, damn. You know what I'm saying? That's...
Yeah, it was crazy. And then, you know, I had a lot of... you know, when I started getting high, I was like, fuck, why did I do that? You know, I had kind of, like... You know, I had some shame. Because I was... The people I was getting high with in New York were also people who had, like, moved to New York, like, 10 years before me that were all in the thing. So they were, like, post-straight edge, like... ex-hardcore people that were now like, isn't this the good life? Like, you know, some alcoholism for sure. But we were just like, all right, cool, we're out. Like, this is our round two. Like, let's have fun this time.
Yeah.
And then, then kind of linking up with some of the people that I came up with, I had kind of been like, sort of like bullied into like changing into like a better
version
of myself. Just by some of those people that had been through it, that, like, we would sit around for hours and just be like, damn, remember how fucking whack we used to be? Like, remember how we used to treat people? Like, remember this? Like, isn't it cool to, like, go out and, you know, hang out with women at a bar and do all this stuff? You know, like, wasn't this so lame? So then I would kind of link up with some of those other people and be like, damn, you know, like, we were fucking whack. Like, let's go do some different shit, you know? And it just, like, it didn't... They weren't at the place where I was when I decided to make the change. So it was, like, super mean. Like, I was kind of trying to bully them into going through the same experience that I had. But it was, like...
So they're only partially committed to what they were saying.
Who?
Them saying, like, oh, yeah, that was lame. That was
no, that was you. That was
I'm
me
sorry. Yeah, okay, yeah, 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 yeah. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I'd go back to some of my other friends and be like, dude, like, what we've been doing has been lame. Like, but it was still just, you know, they didn't go through some weird traumatic thing and then shift their whole life. And have
so they're still the same.
Thing.
Yeah. They're changing.
Yeah. And all of them have, like, you know, developed and grown up in different ways since then. I could see it and recognize it. I have, like, some amends to make about it, actually. Because, I was definitely, like, I don't know. I was just like, all right, cool. Like, I was that extreme that I always had been. Like, I don't do this anymore. So this is now what, you know.
180.
Yeah, 180. Yeah, I've been poof, poof, poof. All over.
That's probably why you're doing so well right now, I think.
I think so, too.
Different subject, but same principle, mode of action.
Yeah, and it's cool to have, like... Yeah, because I kind of shifted from, like, that environment and this kind of, like, sacred space of, like, being able to meditate on these particular emotions and just, like, be as crazy with your body as you want and, like, kind of exhaust yourself and get to this other, like, higher consciousness with this group. And then I kind of shifted that to, like... the Grateful Dead thing, it's sort of like the same. It felt very similar, you know? It's like very DIY. It's kind of like an isolated thing that, like, you can do your own thing and everybody, like, it's of this freedom world. But everybody's kind of doing the same bodily movements. It's just like meditating on a different emotion.
Did Grateful Dead inspire your drug use to further it?
No, to further it for sure. Yeah, I smoked weed and then I started doing acid. I did like...
First acid experience? Let's go.
First acid experience, I had multiple sugar cubes that I just figured were like one hit or whatever. I didn't know. But I took, I don't know, two or three. And they were probably like five hits.
15?
Yeah. Yeah. So my first time, it was like very, very, very intense. I was in my apartment alone.
Did you know, though, that you didn't know it was 15?
No.
Post, you know it's 15?
Probably. I would assume, yeah.
So what was it like? You're like, this is really, really strong. Fuck, is this really three, dude?
It was really strong. I laid on the ground for a long time, and I kind of just tried to, like, breathe. And then I was like, clenching like my like hips and my butt and then like holding it and then releasing it and doing that for like probably like an hour.
That soothed you?
Yeah, but it felt like full body. Like even when I do it now, I can kind of feel it. Like it sort of was like this full body like orgasmic vibration that I like really meditated on for a long time. And I remember during that experience having a lot of like realizations, just like, damn, I don't have to be this like character that I've been playing for a long time. You know, like I don't have to be this person that people expect to be scary or violent or like uphold this thing. I sort of just be, it was like another one of those like biking around New York feelings where I'm just like, I'm not anybody. I'm just here with myself right now. It was kind of the first time where I was like in a very present moment of not like feeling like I had to defend anything that I had built up for myself.
Positive, deep, introspective experience.
Super deep.
Not a bad trip.
Oh, no. Yeah. And I actually specifically was like, all right, I got through this. Like, I'm going to try to have a bad trip now.
Intentionally?
So, yeah. Just
you're
to like.
A beast, dude.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Just on some spooky.
What was the plan to do that?
Spooky shit. I went, it was that summer that that Bobby Shmurda song came on.
Yeah.
Which that, so I found like a chopped and screwed version on YouTube and then I took the speed and I slowed it down to like 25% and I turned it up really, really loud and I got in the bathtub in the dark and I was like thinking about like vampires and shit and I was like, all right, cool. I'm gonna see.
What was your dose?
That was the first time. That was like the 15 hits.
Oh, during the same
one? Yeah, same one. Oh, I was like, all right, shit, cool. Dude, all right. I just learned a bunch of shit. Now I'm going to like see.
Dude, that's super immersive. I'm going to try to like immersive. That's multi-level.
Yeah. Yeah. And I remember being like looking at like my, in the bathtub, like at my, like the tile and like my like hairy legs and shit and just being like, damn, this is those Ren and Stimpy like zoom ins where it would be all like icky, you know, which was like a huge influence on me as a kid. Probably fucked me up, to be honest. Yeah, like I read Doors of Perception by Aldous Huxley when I was like 14. I had this art teacher that was like, we'd talk about enlightenment. And he'd be like, yeah, I mean, you can do it this way or you can use psychedelics. And I was like, nah, fuck that, dude.
Yeah.
But it was always kind of in the back of my head. I had a friend in high school that did a bunch of acid and he was like, he would tell me about it. So I always had this like thing in the back of my head that psychedelics would probably be a part of my life one day, but it just never came up until it came up.
So So after that, did you do it again? Or was it like a pause period? You're like, that was cool, but I'm gonna take a break.
No, I was definitely doing a lot.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, weed and acid, like even for days after, I could like see better, like see more clearly.
Yo, so
my vision's not great.
Yeah.
I wear contacts, but I was wearing glasses at the time and like I would notice that like I could see. You know, like half a mile, like longer.
So
like in focus.
Not hallucinations, not trails.
Yeah.
I had crazy trails when I did that. My mind's weak, I guess. I'm not built for it.
No, I don't think so. I think people's experiences with psychedelics are interesting, the effects that it has on people. Because, like, I remember thinking, like, people telling me when I was younger that they would, like, see, like, whole things that weren't there. And you always hear there are going to be, like, fucking gnomes talking to you and all this shit. I never really had... I had to like sit for like an hour and stare at like the weave of like a couch or something in order to see like things move on their own. It was sort of just like a photoshoppable amount of extra shit, you know, like people, you know, stuff would like kind of like swell and morph, which I think, you know, in all of my years of like thinking about it, I think it has to do with like, you know, when you see those little like trails or like those little like wiggles in your eyes.
The floaters. Yeah.
I think that has something to do with it sometimes. I think your senses are like turned up in a way where like you're seeing energy and like movement that you can't normally process, but it's always there.
Yeah. So it's already real, but it's getting extra real.
Like. I think so. So yeah, I was kind of tapped into this like other layer of my own psyche and then also like other, you know, just the patterns. Like New York City is such a crazy place that has so much extra information per second, and a lot of it is like survival mode, you know, that I don't know, I just started picking up on patterns and getting really, really, really tripped out. Like really, truly tripped out.
So you were dosing on a regular basis?
Not like on a daily basis. It would be like every couple weeks or something.
Yeah.
First time doing mushrooms was crazy. I went to this park and got the giggles crazy.
I know that. Yeah, that's a huge thing for me.
So hard. And like trees like breathing and sighing at me and me having these like really like earth-based beautiful moments. I kept trying to like pee in the park and like take my shirt off, and I was like talking to everybody, and my girlfriend was like, I remember going to walking home from there and going into a bar to use the bathroom and looking in the mirror, and like my entire face, like every breath that would come in and out, like I would turn into like a full, like I would like decay and like turn into a full skeleton and then like come back.
Way like, more visual like, than acid.
Like, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. It's the other way around. It's more body high for me with mushrooms.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That one was, yeah, that one was insane. And then, yeah, the Grateful Dead thing I was pretty resistant to. I had a roommate that got super, super into it.
Is that how you started?
Yeah. Yeah. He got super into it. And then he was like, yo, I got these tickets for the show at the Mets Stadium. And I was like, yeah, it's Saturday. I'm going to be on acid anyway. I'll go to, like, the acid place. You know, maybe I can find somebody that's got some more. Yeah, I'll go to the acid festival, like, place where everybody's doing that shit. And then, yeah, I did a nitrous balloon for the first time there.
How was that?
It's fine. Kind of made me feel dumb.
The most brain damage I've ever seen was a girl that I know that I went on a few dates with. Complete loss of like completely almost disabled because the lack of oxygen to the brain
from her doing too much nitrous. Yeah,
nitrous is really damaging more than anything.
Yeah, I had a friend that lost the use of one of his legs.
Yeah, because you're basically suffocating your brain. It's a serious thing, you know.
It's a very serious thing.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. The nitrous people on the lot, you can always tell who's bad into it. I got pretty bad into it. We'll get into that later. But, yeah. But yeah, it was first show was crazy. I was just very, like, blown away. Like, there was people smoking weed in front of cops. I thought that was crazy. I was like, this is, like, a white privilege, like, an open-air white privilege, like, drug market. This is crazy. Even just seeing people with no shoes on inside of a public place was crazy to me. It was, like, a big, huge cultural, like, blow to me. Like,
cops where
I was
cool?
Like, yeah. I mean, dude, it's like, they don't care. I don't know. I don't know. I have a lot of theories about why, but they just let it go.
Why? Know? What's your theories?
I mean, some of them are kind of spooky. I just think it's, I don't know, it's a tradition, you know? It's been going on since the 60s. So it's, like, it's kind of the only place where you can get this weird freedom world. But then it's, like, supervised the whole time. So I'm, like, how, you know? But then I get all paranoid.
Okay.
So got super into that. There's this thing called the beam. They do this thing called drums in space, like, during the second set where the drummers come out. They've been doing it forever, but the drummers come out and just kind of, like, do this weird drum and bass, like, primal shit, you know, where it's, like, just drums on the stage. And then this dude, Mickey Hart, has this big kind of, like, harp. It's like a big, long, stringed instrument. And he's programmed every drum that he's ever had into each string. So, like, there's, like, thousands of years of, like, history of sound. And he'll just, like, fucking bang on it or, like, play it. He plays it, like, he'll, like, lick it sometimes. And during that part, I was, like, you know, like, losing my shit. And this guy next to me kept, like tapping my shoulder and being like, you got a nice shirt on, man. That's a really, I was wearing this, like, flowered shirt. He's like, that's a really nice shirt. Like, you're going to be cool, dude. Like, it's all good. Like, they could tell I was just, like, melting.
That's dope. It's a cool community.
Super cool community.
You could be who you are here. Just chill. We got your back.
Yeah. Yeah, and everybody's kind of been through it, which is the craziest thing. Like, that's, everybody's been too high at a fucking show.
Yeah.
And, like, going through that is, like, kind of this, like, rite of passage that everyone's had. So, like, when they see other people, like, tripping, like, you know, you help everybody out. But
is acquiring drugs pretty easy there?
Yeah, I think so. Acid, I mean, I came with my own.
Prepared, always, for sure, yeah. Yes.
I want to, because I'm not taking some weird barefoot dude's, like, drugs, you know?
Yeah.
But, dude, yeah, the best acid in the world's on the grave.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, their sound guy, Owsley, was, like, the guy who created, like, most of the acid for the 60s.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and he was their sound engineer. He funded them for a long time.
That makes sense.
With his acid money. Yeah, they built this thing called the Wall of Sound, which is, like, 50 speakers high.
It's not. Oh, my God.
Yeah, and each string of the bass would, like, be programmed to a different section of the speakers, and it was, like, the height of a standing bass wave, so they could, like, push the sound for, like, miles.
Man, you make me want to do this.
Dude, it's cool.
It sounds like...
You check out The Dead?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, it's awesome. Yeah, I'll send you a documentary. It's great.
That sounds like... You've seen me around. Like, that's... Yeah. I am interested.
Dude,
That sounds like a really visceral, super dope-ass experience to, like...
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah.
Even not even high.
And they've never played the same set list twice in... You know, they're a portions of the original band now. But yeah, Grateful Dead music is like a new experience every time. It's like these very kind of traditional experience where you like sort of know what it's going to be like, but then there's all this like, there's all these magical little like new, it's right. like, it's like jazz, you know?
So you stopped obviously doing what you're doing, delivering. And then you took this 15 hit, like, oh my God. And then your friend introduced you to.
No, I kept doing that.
Okay, cool. Yeah, great. Yeah. Okay, I was wondering. Cool.
I kept doing that the whole time I was in New York.
Great. Okay, cool.
Yeah. And it was, it was cool. I don't know. It was sort of the same thing. Like, I knew it was always going to be kind of the same every day, but it was always like new people and new different. And I would like be like, I'm going through all these psychedelic experiences. So I was sort of like filtering them through all these people. Like, I'd be like, yo, are ghosts real? But I would ask 50 people a day.
That's really cool.
And then kind of like cast this like net of like, yo, I had this thing happen to me on DMT. Like, what do you think about this?
Were overall people's opinion on whether ghosts exist or not out of the 50, or, you know?
I think a lot of people did. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. The ghosts kind of come in a little bit to the, when I started really, really doing too much.
Let's go. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. Yeah. I left that show. I was like, damn, Grateful Dead's sick. I'm going to keep doing this. I think I went on like maybe to like 7 shows the next year, because it was like, you know, 1 show in New York, and then I missed all the other ones in 2016. So then 2017, I think I went to California for like 4 shows, went to Hollywood Bowl and the Shoreline.
Amphitheater. Up for the Bay.
Oh, sick.
Yeah.
The Grateful Dead designed that building.
Man.
Sound-wise.
I heard Roger Waters play there.
Yeah.
And I was on acid. And that sound.
Was it the best?
Holy shit. Yeah. I have become comfortable. Boom, boom, boom. Like 360. Were you on the lawn? Yeah.
Yeah.
360 on the lawn. Yeah, that sound is so good. Sick. That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, if you look at the venue from above, it looks like a steely, like the skull. Like they designed it. Like.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. It was wild to see like how much like historical like influence that this thing had. And it kind of been like under my nose the whole time. So I was like, just for like a nerd that likes. Like, I was like, oh, okay, I like bootleg t-shirts and I like folk art. This is, like, probably the biggest collection in American history of it. Like, every single person is wearing at least, like, one handmade thing that they bought in the parking lot or whatever. So it was cool just on, like, some punk artist shit that I was like, I'd just walk around and be on acid and, like, talk to every single person and be like, where'd you get that t-shirt? Oh, shit, like, you got it in 1974? That's crazy. What did they play that night? What drugs were you on? And then you're just, like, fucking time traveling with somebody. Because everybody wants to talk about it.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's a wild environment. But yeah, did those tours for a while. And then, I got involved with kind of a spooky person who I think was sort of locked into some bad magic.
You said spooky a couple of times already. What? Can you go into this, please?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, cool. Yeah.
I kind of got involved with this girl that, like, you know, the first time I met her, I was like, what's up with this? Like, who's in the cat? You know, who's in this little black cat? You know, and she was like, oh, I'm like all weird about it. And then, like, only after Halloween, she was like, yeah, my ex-boyfriend killed himself, and he's in the cat.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, well, I knew that right away. You know, so it just kind of kept getting weirder. Because I was just, like, I felt like I was, like, banging my head against, like, the wall of reality, trying to pop through, you know, with drugs. I just wanted to, like, know, but I wasn't specific about what I wanted to know. So it was, like, any, like, entity or fucking energy I encountered, I was just, like, oh, cool. Yeah, I'm listening, no matter what it was, you know, which I've learned how to be a lot more, like, responsible with my energy since then. But, yeah, so I was involved with this girl, and there was all this spooky stuff. She gave me this big-ass crystal, and then I was at this show in upstate New York, did all of the drugs, walked into the show, bought this, like, this guy, like, unzipped his backpack, and he just had, like, sealed water bottles of vodka. Somehow that he got in there. He probably like threw it over the fence and like went through the woods and got it or some shit. So I'm just chilling. I don't drink vodka. I'm like, I would drink whiskey, you know, had done some cocaine or something. I was on a bunch of different kinds of acid. It was like not a good recipe shit that was about to happen, but chilling in the show. I'm kind of having a hard time. I'm just like drinking this vodka, like water. And there's a baby in front of me that looks just like me to me. And I'm talking to his parents or whatever, ask his name. It's the name of the ex, the ghost.
Yes.
At the time. So I'm like, oh, what the fuck is going on?
Triggered. Yeah.
And then I turn around and I look behind me and there's an old man that looks like me behind me. And then I'm like looking at him and he just puts his hand on my shoulder and like gives me a hug. And I was like, like I'm fucking, I'm going to die. You know, like I'm freaking out.
That's a bad trip.
Yeah. It started to become bad. Yeah. And this venue is kind of spooky. And it's like in the woods. Yeah. It's called the Saratoga Performing Arts Center. So yeah, they start playing this song called Looks Like Rain. And, you know, this is pretty explainable because there's weather apps and shit. And they kind of always do this. But they're playing Looks Like Rain. It starts raining. And a big fucking rainbow comes out in the sky. And the old man behind me grabs me and he's like, that's Jerry. He's like, Jerry comes out for the special shows. You know, Jerry Garcia.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, what the fuck? You know, what's going on? And then set break happened and I looked at my friends and I was like, I think I just said, this is it. And then I just walked away. Phone died immediately. Couldn't find them again. And I was just lost, freaking out. So then I ran into these kids that I had met like a week earlier that do these t-shirts. Ended up becoming really good friends of mine. But I was just like, yo, I met you guys last week. I'm lost. I'm terrified. I don't know what, I'm having a very hard time. Can I come be with you guys? And they were like, yeah, for sure. So they bring me over and then they play this like, kind of like, I was maybe only with them for like 15 minutes. And they play this like kind of ballad. And then at some point everything goes black and I'm just like floating above everything. And like, it was just me and this one kid and we're both like blue and like flaming. And I was just like popped back in and I'm like, what? You know, like stuff that doesn't normally happen to me when I'm tripping. Like it was extra, extra, extra experiences. And then like the song ends and I tried to pee in a bottle and literally like dripped three drops on my leg. And I was like, then the song ends and they all turn away and are like going like this. And I was like, I just peed all over my friends, my new friends. Oh my God, I have to leave. So I was like, guys, I gotta go. And they told me later, they were like, we knew you weren't ready to go. And I was like, yeah. So I like go up, I'm like by the bathrooms, there's like some like motorcycle club people there. And like, I was just like fucking terrified. And I remember being like in the bathroom and like looking at the toilet water and being like, do I drink this? Like, I didn't know what anything was really, wow. You know? I remember running into a guy that had like blue dreadlocks and like this old dog. And I was like kind of kicking it with him. And I was like, and then I eventually found them in the parking lot. There's this, do you know about the Seven Tribes?
No, go ahead.
It's like this cult that owns a bunch of like vegan restaurants.
Oh.
But they like, they're abusive and like, they're like a cult.
Vegan abusive cult.
Yeah, it's weird.
Sounds weird. Yeah.
And they had this double decker bus, like a bus with like another bus on the top. And they would come to shows and like try to like snatch up like lost souls, you know? So I'm like, I'm in the parking lot, I'm all lost. And I get to like the front of their thing and they were like, do you want to come in? And I was like, I kind of do want to come in. You know? Yeah. So I like almost like, you know, life can go a million different
fresh
directions.
Meat.
Yeah. But I was like, I was vulnerable, you know?
Yeah.
I ate one of their burritos one time and it made me feel weird.
What do you think was in it?
I don't know. People have these about what they're doing.
What are your theories?
I don't know what they would put in it, but wasn't acid. I'll tell you that.
For sure wasn't just food.
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah. There's documentaries about them and stuff now and they don't really come around anymore. I haven't seen them in a couple years, but I remember being really freaked out about that. And then we kind of like found my friends eventually. I was actually with a person walking through the parking lot that was sober, newly sober. And we encounter this guy who's like half in the street. Like he's like laying half in the grass and half like in a road. He's just like passed out. And we're like, oh, fuck, we got to help this guy. So we buy a water from like a 5-year-old kid that's walking around selling water and grilled cheeses. Buy him some water. We give it to him and he just like stands up and like pisses against a tree and like burps and farts and then like walks away. And I remember my friend being like, the human body is an interesting machine. You know, you got to just put some oil back in it.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, you go from a baby to like a fucking dickhead again in like 2 seconds. Yeah.
Water's good.
Yeah. Water's good. So he kind of did. He walks away and then we find our friends and then we go to this campsite and I'm bugging. I also know I have to be back in New York City at work at 1 p.m. the next day. So I'm like a little bit nervous about getting everything fixed. But everyone goes to sleep. And then I'm sitting at this campfire. And there's like a hill that goes down and like a lake. And all these trees and frogs. And it was like super mellow. I'm sitting smoking cigarettes. And then I become aware that I'm in a cube. I'm like just, I can start to see the like walls of something. And everything outside of it is normal reality. And all of the tree branches that are inside of it are like polygonal and like sort of like, you know, like Minecrafty looking. And it was like everything that was inside of this cube. So I'm like, I just got the idea in my head. Because I think something that weed and, like, psychedelics would do with me is that it would speed my brain up so fast that, like, anything that I was feeling would then kind of come, like, become reality. It's, like, something in sobriety that I've noticed doesn't happen to me anymore and is, like, a huge gift is that I don't jump the gun and start to assign reality to my thoughts, you know? So I'm sitting here and I'm like, okay, this is where I've always been and this is – everything is a simulation and I don't – you know, I'm like, I don't even think I'm, like, real anymore. So then I go back into life, like, interacting with real people, just sort of, like, trying to cycle through all of this information that has been, like, dumped on me. And I'm sort of, I don't know, I got pretty, like, detached from reality. I don't know if that's how it happens for everybody, but for me, I was like, oh, shit, I've, like, been outside of the realm of normal.
Were you scared you're going to be there for a long time? Or were you just, enjoying
time.
It?
Yeah, not at the time.
Yeah.
There has been times where I thought I was, like, going to get stuck for sure. But it was just sort of one of the first glimpses where I was like, you know, it kind of doesn't matter what I'm doing because it's not real anyway.
Yeah.
Which I think was a pretty dangerous, like, revelation for me to have.
Where have you been stuck?
Like,
damn, I'm fucked. Like, yeah.
Yeah. So the first time I smoked DMT was crazy. DMT is like, you know about DMT?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So it's like, you know, it's this molecule that gets released when you die. So the first time, there was, like, this big, like, pyramid kind of woman with, like, rainbowy, like, stuff, like, flowing all down her. And she just had these big, like, red, like, plasticky-looking things that were kind of, like, and she was just, like, here, you know? And I was, like, I don't know what that is. Came out of it, smoked it again. Every time I smoked DMT, I would do it, like, 10 times.
What's the average dose?
It's, like, a
little. One dime?
Probably. For most people. For most people, yeah, probably. Yeah.
Let's go again.
I just be like, all right, cool. I'm kind of comfortable with that. Let's go back in. Yeah. I'm kind of, what did that mean? So then instead of having like one, you know, I think that you encounter spiritual things there that like give you enough to process. But I would just like, you know, same with the acid and the same with the weed and everything else. I would just like want more and then have the next week just be trying to process like 10 lifetimes of information that like I probably also shouldn't have even seen anyway, you know?
What'd you see?
The second time I smoked it that time, I got like poked all over my body, like physical sensation, like pressure point poked, and my body, like I was leaning up on these pillows. And I even tried to do it later, like push the pillows down with my body and I couldn't even do it. Like I was just propped up, but like when I got poked everywhere, I went into like a perfect like meditation crossed leg like chakra guy. And I even saw like, you know, on the, like the outside of like chakra reading places, they have like the guy with a little alignment of your energy. And like this fucking like ohm came out of my throat, like without my consent, you know. And I saw this face and it was like light coming out of the eyes and mouth. And I was like, they're showing me how to die. They're showing me how to die. I got to get out of here. This is too much. This is too much. And I didn't think that that was like too much. Went back in immediately, you know. And then, yeah, that, as soon as I got out of that, my friend, who's actually passed away since then, really wanted me to come to this show. Just threw a bunch of mushrooms in my mouth and went, you know, and just was like, ended up blacking out, like fucking puking all, like laying on my back puking, like really bad. So it was always kind of like I'd go way too far and then just continue to push it and continue to push it until like my body just shut down. And then I'd be like, oh, well, I'm just, you know, I'm new at this. Oh, I've only been, this is me at like 18 drinking or whatever, you know, compared to everybody else. So I'd just be like, all right, whatever. Yeah, let's just keep going. Another time, I've been kind of, I don't know, I've been praying on this to try to figure out if I should. That spooky girl told me to not speak about this particular entity because it was going to come back for me. And I don't think I believe that, you know.
Let's go.
So yeah, let's go. I was in Central Park. You know Funkadelic?
Yeah.
George Clinton and shit.
Yeah.
They had this music video called Cosmic Slop where they were spooky and like face makeup looking all freaky and they were like in this particular part of Central Park like doing weird stuff. And then me and my friend took some acid and mushrooms. We were in Central Park chilling. And then we just go through this like little hallway and then we just end up there. And I was like, what the fuck? This is crazy. I think actually maybe I didn't even realize it was that exact spot until years later. But we're just sitting on this little pole. I'm talking about like all the symbolism and all the fucking mason work and all the, you know, there's like a pine cone. That's the pineal gland. This is all, you know, whatever. Like these amount of stairs add up to pi. This is like a
having a good time.
This is a spot, you know?
Killing it, yeah.
And, I saw this dude with just this guy, and I sort of saw him, like, kind of, like, shift a little bit. Like, it was just, like, for a second. And I was like, yo, look at that guy. Isn't that weird? And my friend didn't see it. And then I said something I'm not going to repeat, sort of this little thing that rhymed. And he immediately was just like, oh, and then this, like, weird white junkie dude came over and, like, unzipped a rolling suitcase and then took a big, huge fucking boa constrictor out of it and put it on the guy's neck.
That's real.
That was real.
What?
100% real. And a lot of this shit, it's like, it sounds crazy, but, like, somebody else witnessed it and it really happened and it wasn't a hallucination. All the time, like, the craziest times that, like, got me all tripped out, it was because it was real, you know?
Did he come back for it?
So he's chilling, and then I said something about him, and then he just, like, literally from, like, 100 feet away, like, looked directly at us and walked right up toward us. And he's, like, talking to us, and he's, like, trying to put the snake on us, and I was like, you know, because they just, that's a hustle in New York. Like,
oh, I didn't know that. I didn't, sorry.
A guy with a, no, but I mean, it's like, I can explain why this is, like,
okay, because I'm not from New York.
Kind of normal.
Please explain. Yeah, now.
I feel like they probably do it on the Strip or the Sunset and stuff here too, but, or Melrose or whatever, but somebody will have a big snake and then they'll, like, put it on you. They'll be like, oh, are you afraid of snakes? And then they'll, like, put the snake on you and then, like, they get you to kind of be comfortable with it and then you, like, pay to have a picture taken or, like, they won't take it off you.
Okay,
until you,
I understand.
Like, pay them $20 or whatever.
It's like the Buddhist that gives you the book. And then, like,
yeah, those guys.
Okay, I get it.
Yeah, they do that in New York.
Snake too. Is good though.
Snakes, see, I like to hear that. Snakes are good.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with snakes. I was just talking to my friend about that. But yeah, he was like, you know, trying to get us to talk about what we're afraid of. And I was pretty, I don't know, I was just so high that I was like, you know, no. You know, like, I'm not afraid of you. I'm not afraid of anything else. And he's like, well, then what's your apprehension? And I'm like, there's a reptilian spirit. So the guy was from Africa. I was like, there's a reptilian spirit and we're trying to stay away from it. And he was like, oh, why is that? And I was like, because it like exists on like fear and like power. And he was like, yes, this is true. You know, and he was like being all creepy. I think he just knew I was really high and he was kind of fucking with me. But
yes,
to me, I was like, I'm talking to right now, you know, it's here, you know, it's freaking me out. So I asked him when his birthday was. I was trying to talk to him about astrology and shit. And he was like, sometime before the beginning and the end, you know,
he knows. He's trying to get a bag.
Yeah. He was fucking with me.
Dude.
And, he was like, I know more than you think I do, and I'm going to be back to talk to you and all this shit. And then he walks away, and me and my friend just look at each other. We're like, was that the devil or something? Like, what the fuck, dude? We're so freaked out. But then for some reason, I'm like, go to walk away, and he's like, where are you going? And I just, like, shook his hand and looked in his eyes, and it wasn't there anymore, like, whatever I thought it was. So that bugged me out for a long time. I was talking to everybody about it. There's, like, other aspects of it that I don't think are important, but just freaked me out. So then I was, I smoked DMT pretty soon after that. And when I went into the thing, you know, the reality shift, I was like, all right, cool. So this is the place where I can, like, find information from the higher self or, you know, all these angels or demons or whatever the fuck it is. And I was like, what's up with that thing? What's up with the snake man or whatever? And when I said that, like, a big yin yang came in front of me. And then this, like, sort of Chinese, like, dragons came. They're black. And then they covered everything. And then it was just black with two red eyes staring at me. Fuck. And I was like, fuck, come on, dude. That's not. And I was like, fuck. Like, fuck you, dude. Like, I'm just trying to, I'm just knowledge. You know, I just want knowledge. I'm not, you know, I don't deserve this.
It's like, I'm not telling you.
Yeah. Well, it was just like,
you don't deserve this.
Well, I asked for what it is and it showed, you know, it showed me what it is, which is just, I felt like, so then I was like, fuck this. I opened my eyes. Smoked it again, went back in, immediately back there. Like,
same black with the red eyes?
Same black, red eyes. I'm like, well, I'm not getting stuck here. And then I got hit with, like, it felt like I just got injected with, like, anxiety and fear. Like, it wasn't really, like, something happened. It made me feel super anxious. It was like, okay, cool, now we're going to show you what this is like. And I was just, like, the most in terror. And it felt like I was there for, like, lifetimes. You know, like, I spent, like, 800 years in this, like, black space. You know, I was like even like looking around and there was just like the eyes would stay there and I was just like, there's nowhere to go. So I was like, all right, like this is it. Like, you know, Krishna, like Kali, like my Jesus, like whoever, whatever created me, like I need help right now. And I straight got pulled up and out and like everything was like gold and white and like there was like trumpets and shit. For real.
How epic is that?
It was epic. Yeah, it was epic.
Yeah.
So I opened my eyes and I'm like, great, I can't kill myself now. Like, damn it, I believe in God again. Like, this is fuck. Like, fuck. And then a little bit after that, I went to a show and did a bunch of drugs and none of them worked. And then I came home and somebody wanted to smoke DMT for the first time. So then I smoked it. I don't really remember what happened. But then I came out and I was looking at the television, big TV we had, and there was like this like smear, you know, probably like a handprint or something. And I was staring at it in the corner and it sort of like became a face and then it became like a ghoul or like a ghost. It looked like a ghost was like trapped in my fucking TV. And I was like, I don't want this, you know, like I fucking believe in God now. I'm like some sort of like cold case file fucking ghost communicator. Like, this is too much. I don't want that. I just wanted to get high and fuck party at Grateful Dead shows or whatever. And then, the thing can, you know, my own thoughts and crystallization of my own, like, perceptions convinced me that, like, one of my friends had, like, been involved in, like, a vehicular manslaughter and that was this ghost trying to, like, communicate with me. I remember calling him and him just being, like, taking a long pause, which made me feel like...
It really happened.
And then he's like, fuck no. You know? But I was getting tripped out. Like,
yeah.
My hallucinations and experiences were, I never thought that they weren't real, you know? And I was always like, oh, this is like trying to teach me something. And then, so I was like super scared of like snakes and stuff and, you know, just this kind of like mythology of like, you know, but snakes are like a symbol of knowledge, you know? I think it was like trying to show me this fear that I had to like get over or something, but I had to experience it pretty heavily for a while. And then I was in a kirtan.
What's that?
It's like the thing they do at a Krishna temple. I guess I could talk about how I got into Krishna first.
Let's go.
I started doing these like sound meditations, and real spooky one happened where this guy kind of got like possessed and snarling and saying all this weird shit. And I was with my friend who grew up Krishna, and we were just kind of praying and got out of it. And then the next day I was like, all right, cool. I'm going to do this by myself. I want to do the same thing, even though there's no one here to keep an eye on me. There's no timer. There's no professionals doing the sound. I'm just going to put this Alice Coltrane record on in my room and like stare into this fucking party laser thing that I had. I was like, you know, so stupid. But so I was in my room for like 8 hours, like doing the fucking butt clench thing. And I just got so exhausted. I also remember completely popping through some kind of reality and seeing this big blue flaming planet with like an orbit around it. Like this like red thing with like a little like, I don't remember what it's called. The symbol that I'd seen a million times. And then I kind of came out of the ceremony, which was completely irresponsible. Turned the lights on, and everything was like way, way, way trippier than anything I'd ever experienced. And I was very like exhausted from just, you know, fucking months of just banging my head against the wall. So I went to the bathroom and like tried to look in the mirror. I was trying to like get myself grounded, but we had this like party light bulb, like a color changing bulb. And every time the colors would change, I would kind of like fall a little bit. I was just like get further and further away from like where I was trying to be. And then I sat down on the toilet and then I was like, oh, I just gotta kill myself. That's the only way to get out of this. And, you know, I was pretty miserable anyway. But so I walked into the kitchen and I like had a knife, and then my roommate came in. And he was like, dude, what are you doing? And I was like, start crying. I was like, I'm going to be here forever. I broke my brain. Like, I'm never coming back. This is fucked. It finally happened. And he was like, no, you're good. And then there was a watermelon, and I put like a Pendleton blanket over myself, and I was just hugging this watermelon, crying for like 9 hours straight in the kitchen, like with my roommates, like trying to like live their normal lives. And he also was like, yo, do you want me to put some music on? And he put on Monkey Man by the Rolling Stones. And there was like a sitar in the background. And as soon as I heard the sitar, I started like shaking crazy because I'd just been listening to Alice Coltrane for so long. I don't know if that's related, but it's definitely weird because he was like putting his ear up to the thing. He's like, I don't hear a fucking sitar, dude. I was like, there's one in there. So, then that week I did a horrible drug called 3-MeO-PCP.
Wait, can we go back to like, hugging the watermelon?
Oh, yeah, I'm hugging the watermelon.
Result? Yeah, what is the result?
I think just like 10 hours later, I kind of just like...
passed out or something?
Yeah, I just like fell asleep, or I just sort of, you know, I realized I wasn't broken or whatever.
The come down is just basically,
yeah.
Got it, cool.
Yeah, and actually, I remember I posted a picture of, like, the melon and this, that Instagram account, New York Nico, used to interview this homeless guy in in Washington Square Park all the time. And he was kind of in my, like, you know, field of awareness. And he was dating this woman who was in all the videos and stuff. And when I posted that fucking melon, she found it somehow and commented, Melon Jess. Like, I don't know if she's trying to tell Melon Yes or something, but like a schizophrenic woman found this post I made from this insane moment in my life and commented on it with a thing I didn't understand. And I was like, oh, well, that means something.
You know? Those frequencies are like aligning somehow.
I know.
You know, out of the blue, you know, is it?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you put the beacons out for insanity, and that's what finds you, you know? That would happen a lot, but I'd be like, oh, it's an angel trying to tell me something or whatever, you know? And, yeah, later that week I did a horrible drug called 3-MeO-PCP, which I looked up like the drug wiki, and it had like a GIF of an ambulance.
Yeah.
Flashing, like, big. And it was like, if you combine this with any other drugs, you'll go into psychosis immediately. Only do, like, a 0.01 of a gram or whatever. Like, you can only do, like, a bump of this.
And what'd you do?
Two big, fat fucking bumps. Like, motherfucker. On coke. On coke, drunk as shit.
Let's go.
Yeah, on coke, very drunk.
Yeah.
And I was with this dude and this other dude, these two, like, deadhead fools. They're both kind of, like, hippie rap, like freestyle rappers, kind of. One of them wears a bow tie all the time.
That's cool. I'm down.
Yeah. Interesting people. Yeah. And then this other random guy who just kind of came with us. So my roommates had just played a show and they weren't back from the show yet. And we were home and did this fucking thing. It felt like, you know, in Get Out where, like, you know, he gets put in like the upside down or whatever the fuck.
100%.
And he's like in that boat and it's just like,
yeah.
Like going further and further and further. It felt like that. And I was like very far away from where I usually am. And it was dark and like, didn't feel good. And, yeah, the dude sitting on the couch across just kept screaming, this is it. This is it. This is it. Over and over and over.
Real again. Or imagined?
No, the real man, the stranger I didn't know. He was screaming, this is it, over and over again. The other guy was like fucking like dancing, like with his fingers really slow. Like he was standing, he was having a good time. And then the other guy was next to me. He would tell me for years that every time he would see me, he would be like, I'm getting goosebumps thinking about this right now. But when we were there, I found you in this other realm and I knew you needed help. And I realized I was a shaman, all this shit. So like he spiritually helped me out somehow, but I was like fucking slumped over the couch. And then I tried to get to the bathroom and I just like, my roommates had come home at this point and they're like, don't know what we're on. They don't know what the fuck's going on. They're like scared. They like think I'm going to die and I'm probably dying. So then I try to walk to the kitchen and I put my face on the wall and like can only move like 2 inches at a time. And I'm just dragging my face on the wall, trying to like hold myself up. I eventually get to the kitchen and I'm like in the sink. It's like ketamine times like 50. And I like ketamine, but
this is not times 50.
Yeah. Not 50 lines of ketamine. You know, that's not good. Nobody needs that. And, yeah, I'm, like, in the sink with, like, my body hanging off, and I can only see my roommate's, like, sweatshirt. He had this, like, Felix the Cat sweatshirt in, like, a Metatron's cube, and I just kind of see it, like, coming into the kitchen, and he was just like, are you okay? And I just, like, held my thumbs up. I was like, you know, I'm good. I ended up in the bathtub. So, yeah, that was, like, for sure, like, an OD on a drug, which hadn't happened before. And then, yeah, I woke up from that at, like, 5 p.m. the next day, ended up in bed. And then woke up from that and went right back to the sound meditation, like immediately, where I then tried to bang my head against the wall more.
Any post-psychosis from that, or did it resolve itself when you woke up?
I think just the darkness of my perceived reality at the time definitely combined with all of the other, yeah, I was for sure in psychosis. It was all I could talk about. I was trying to figure it out. It was like I was trying to solve a puzzle at all times, and it kind of got me to the point where it was like all I could talk to people about and all I wanted to talk about, and no one else could relate to it at all. You know, they were just like, I remember sitting on a bench in the park telling my friend that story and her going, you just told me that you were going to kill yourself to make the drugs stop. She's like, do you hear yourself? And I was like, yeah. But like, no, that was just like, whatever, you know, I wrote that down and like, as I'm taking inventory of my life as a sober person. And that was definitely like a moment where it was one of the only moments where people are like, you hear yourself, dude? Like, this is really bad. My roommate moved out right after that experience too. Cause he was like, I can't see Zach die. He found like a bag of coke and like threw it away. Cause he thought that was whatever. They thought we were on like heroin or something. Cause we were just so slumped.
They're like normies or like just people that don't do hard drugs, just drink and smoke weed sometimes.
I mean, they're just not, they don't have the disease that that I do.
For sure.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. They would get down, but not like, you know, to the point of like bodily harm.
They would trip out and be like, "Yo, I want to kill myself," and when they would never do it again because of that. You know, I mean, they're the hard one.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. You know? I think that they didn't have the urge to like figure it out or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Or they just had good experiences, you know? They didn't like, I don't know, just less spooky. Then I went to, during the thing where I was going to kill myself, my friends, two separate groups of friends called me and like chanted Hare Krishna to me over the phone for like probably like an hour. And I loved that. And it really kind of, that experience allowed me to kind of go into these kirtans and experiences and sort of like redefine what my higher power looked like. I always kind of describe it as like, you know, that like dark side of the moon, like a prism where like the light goes in and then it kind of like goes into a rainbow. That my higher power was like this one thing, and then it kind of like split into many deities and many like forms of just more things to care about me, you know, which was really freeing and nice. So I started going to these things, but I was still pretty like freaked out and scared about all the stuff that had happened. So I remember being in one on mushrooms. Kirtan is like this, people play like drums and like organs, and then they chant one thing over and over again for a few hours. And it also feels a lot like hardcore and like the Grateful Dead, where it's like this place for everybody to kind of like move their body and like tap into a particular thing and kind of like hypnotize themselves. And I remember thinking that I was super scared. I was like, man, I want to be one with everything in the universe except these snake motherfuckers, you know? And then I had this little pendant in my hand that was Shiva, just like an incarnation of, it's like one of the three main deities. And he's got a snake around his neck, like as a necklace. And he's just chilling. It's like chilling here. And his like, you know, ponytail becomes the Ganges River and stuff. But I was looking at that and I was like, he's chilling. Like he's got the snake and he's chilling. Like how could I be, I'm not looking at the whole yin yang at once, you know, like I'm super scared of like this one like color of God, you know, that has obviously been shown to me to like learn something. So I'm just chilling and I'm like thinking like, man, what if the universe falls out of balance and it becomes like slightly more black part of the yin yang than and then this fucking human baby, real life baby, crawls up behind me and literally pats me on the back and then like rubs my back. And I look down and it's an infant child. And then I look up and there's like a 7-year-old girl like leading the kirtan. And I was like, I was like, fuck. I started crying. The mom came over and like hugged me. She's like sitting with this baby next to me. So it was like a very, very big God shot of just being like, everything's cool.
So you're way different than the black red eyes. It's like a 360, like 180.
Complete opposite.
That's sick, dude.
Yeah. Wow, dude. So yeah, I was talking to one of my spiritual advisors on the way over here about whether or not to discuss some of that entity or whatever. Cause you know, I had a spooky person tell me like, oh, it's going to come back for you if you like air it out, you know, like don't snitch on that thing. But like, it's, I don't know. I learned so much from it, you know, I'm not like afraid of it anymore. It was just like an experience that happened that showed me how to not be afraid of other, you know, why am I going to be afraid of snakes?
I think for me,
beautiful ecosystem.
Yeah. Most people would be permanently gone. So right. I think you were meant to like be able to handle that.
Right.
You know, I think anybody that takes 15 hits for their first would never do it again. But
yeah.
Absolutely. It's like, but your body and your brain was just created to handle that.
Yeah.
And to come back from it.
Yeah.
No one survived. People are in the loony bin. J-Cat for life.
Right.
That type of shit. And you're still faculty. You're still smart, like fluid. You know,
intelligible. Yeah, thank God,
like,
dude.
Yeah.
Thank God. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think maybe that was supposed to happen.
Yeah, for sure.
Because anyone else would be gone my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of my daily kind of like gratitude and experiences, like trying to understand what my higher power has meant for me. It's like, you know, a lot of people talk about like, you know, things that we did outside of like God's will or whatever, but God was there the whole time, allowed me to do that shit, allowed me to do all the bad shit that I did too. In order for me to have this perspective and move forward in a way that's like cleansed from that, or like at least like trying to, you know, not trying to make up for it, but like, you know, just like I don't know, I didn't do drugs my whole life, and then, I did a ton of drugs and now I can't do drugs anymore. Yeah. It's like probably not. What's that sound? Oh, okay. We're just, I'm hearing it in here, but it's the plane going by.
Let's wait. Yeah. Hold on.
It's the plane getting picked up by this, but it sounds like
no, hold on.
Sounds like a waterfall or something.
Let's wait. Let's wait. That never happened before. That never happened.
Interesting timing.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah, most people go crazy for life. Yeah. Hold on. Yeah.
It's true though, dude.
That's unbelievable. It's never happened before. Yeah? Cool. For me, my psycho is like, oh yeah, they're like, fucking fuck this dude in there.
Yeah, yeah. I've done meth a couple times. I did it in Japan while I was on a bunch of acid, and that was horrible.
You did meth in Japan?
Yeah.
You can like go to jail forever.
Yeah.
I mean, I know someone that smuggled weed inside of a shampoo bottle.
Yeah.
And got, and his Japanese, went out there to teach ESL.
Yeah.
His friend, David, shipped him a weed in a shampoo bottle in eighth. They found it, and they raided his house like it was like a brick of cocaine.
Yeah.
And they locked him in jail, and you're not innocent until proven, you're guilty.
Yeah.
And he was around Yakuza members. He's like this really simple person.
Yeah.
His name's Eric. And they banished him. He's been like banished.
Oh, he can't come back?
Never again.
Yeah.
For eighth of weed, in prison for 6 months. And the worst part about it is his dad passed away while he was in there. And they give you no communicate. You weren't allowed to communicate with anybody. Poor guy. Nobody knew where he was. So imagine coming out of that. And then you learn that your father passed away while you're in there.
Yeah. That's gnarly, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was definitely, I went to Japan. I brought a bunch of acid.
How did you smuggle that in?
It's just paper, dude.
You're right. Yeah. No dog.
I had it in my fucking passport with me. It was like I handed it to them. Yeah, it was easy.
Got it.
Yeah, did a bunch of that, and then I was chilling with this girl and her friends, and I was like, you know, what's up with drugs? And they were like, oh yeah, we can get some cocaine. And we went to this bar. We bought it from a dude from Africa, in an elevator of this bar called Chicken Man, which was interesting.
Black dude, Japan meth. Great. Go on.
Yeah. And like I'm already on acid because it was like my couple like second to last day there. I was trying to get rid of it or whatever. And I did it and immediately was like, smells like cat piss. It came like wrapped in like a little tin foil, like small. And I was like, yeah, I'll get two. And they were looking at me like, what the fuck? I'm like, you guys never run out of a bag of fucking coke before? Like the fuck, you know? Yeah. And then as soon as I did it, it was just like probably like P2P, like, you know, Singapore fucking. And it was not fun. I didn't like it. I'm not super into like stimulants. I get really anxious.
It's interesting because I think most people get super, stimulated in a bad way with hallucinogens.
Yeah, yeah, but we're all built different. I'm glad I was never like a big. I would only really like do a lot of coke if I was like drunk.
Yeah,
you know, or out dancing or whatever.
Yeah,
but I couldn't like do it during the daytime. Right? I tried to do it and like ride a bike one time, and I just felt like I was gonna die.
So you're looking at Vishnu, and you're like, yo, how come you got a snake on your head? I didn't have a snake. How are you doing this? How do I expand my mind so you can be comfortable with a snake on your head so I can be cool with that?
Yeah. Like, yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And then I just got like, I don't know. There was just such a quick shift to, okay, reality just showed me, also like hugged me, you know? Like I had this like realization, and now like there's instant confirmation that everything's okay. And then I sort of like, yeah, I just had to get rid of that fear, you know? And I think even, you know, there's a solar eclipse coming up, and I've been reading a lot about it on Tuesday. And a lot of the mathematics involved are like the direct mathematics that like separate light from darkness. There's like a lot of spooky shit coming up on this one, like, you know, bad news kind of things. But I just think it's like a good opportunity to like cultivate like positivity. And I think even talking to you, like, of course, I've like had thoughts like, oh, maybe I shouldn't do this or whatever, but I just think it's good to like kind of separate the light and dark in me, and like kind of get this stuff out, and hopefully like somebody else will hear it and be able to be, you know, either relate and see the consequences or whatever, you know.
I relate in my own way because I go in psychosis when I use meth immediately.
Yeah, what's that like?
It's completely terrifying.
As soon as it happens? Was it always that way?
Pretty much. It's so progressed. I just, and then like, you know, and the psychosis, I have an FBI agent that's been following me for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And the problem is whenever I relapse, my brain is configured in a way where he comes back. Mm-hmm. His voice has tonality. His voice has depth.
It's like specific.
All
like
the information. Yeah. He knows everything about me for the past 10 years and everywhere I've lived and everywhere I've relapsed.
Because you know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. So maybe you can help me out with this.
Yeah, like, 100%. Yeah.
He knows everything.
Yeah.
And he's bringing back all that, like, yo, you're back again. And the whole thing is he's trying, I'm getting condemned where he wants to put me in prison for life for being like this terrible person. And then I'm like, so then they're outside the door you know, and then it gets even more serious when like the LAPD is actually fighting with him, who's going to take me to jail?
Right, and you can hear them speaking
100%. About it? 100%. It's so deep and real, and it's like...
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I mean, people's brains are interesting, like, you know, like...
Like, how come I'm weak?
I don't think that you're weak, dude. I think it's, like, I think it's literally God, like, making it so that you... giving you reasons to not do meth. You know what I mean? Because you're like, okay, every time this happens, it's never, like, never doesn't happen. It's like a, it's like an aspect of your psyche, I think, like, kind of breaking, like, separating... And then, like, trying to, because your brain is always in, like, survival mode. You know, when you're putting this, like, poison into yourself, it's trying to figure out how to talk, at least in my opinion.
Go ahead. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's trying to figure out how to talk to you in a way to get you away from danger, you know? And if you're putting this thing in your brain that's so dangerous and, like, creates these patterns that, like, then ripple into the rest of your life, like, I think it's your brain trying to figure out a way to be, like, you know, but, and it's also, it's probably like some guilty part of your brain that's just like breaking free and like, you know.
I like the first thing you said, because like maybe it's my brain saying, yo, survival, like, yo, you got MS, dog.
Yeah, that too.
You can't, you know, you're going to function. We got to stop this.
Yeah. There's already stuff in there.
Yeah. The brain's survival was like, yo, you're already way fucked up beyond alcoholism. You were like,
right.
I'm going to throw this at you so you get sober or you're going to fucking die.
Yeah.
I don't want to put you through this.
Yeah. Because, yeah, what if you were just, you know, slowly drinking yourself to death every day.
I think God gave me MS, just sort of like how the parallel of how what your story is, how you found your God.
Yeah.
I found my God through multiple sclerosis.
Yeah. How so?
Because I think God knew that I was here to do different things, better things than just do what I was doing.
Right.
You know?
And what was it that you were doing?
Smoking meth, masturbating, going blind, being, you know, legally blind, unable to walk.
Is the blindness from the MS or?
Yeah.
Okay. Because you know there's that old wives' tale about jerking off too much. And
you know what? Blind. Yeah, for sure. But then for me, it's not a wives' tale. It's real. Right.
Yeah. Because you have this. Yeah, you have this other separate.
Yeah. That's why condition. I got sober. You know, just because everything hand stuff. I can't spin the pipe because my fingers don't work well.
Mm-hmm.
It's all just disabled.
Yeah.
And then in psychosis, it's like there's nothing left.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
But like, I think that's
God. That doesn't sound fun, dude.
It doesn't. And that's why I think it's really a disease, because how come I'm going to do that and destroy myself every single time in light of everything that happened?
Right.
Paraphrased, it wasn't worth it.
Right.
But yeah, but I relate the parallels of like how you found your God.
Yeah.
Through Houston Jenkins. I found my God through God giving me multiple sclerosis.
Yeah. That's a beautiful thing. Like, you know, how can you go through life being grateful for so many things and then having this one point of resentment still?
Yeah.
You know?
I'm like, still walking.
Like, yeah.
Motherfuckers get MS and they go to a wheelchair in like a year, two years. I've had it for over 12 years and I have minor disability. Like, these fingertips are numb, only the fingertips.
Right.
I get some pains only in my right shoulder and spots, but like, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. You can still have a fulfilling life. Yeah. That's beautiful. It's like, why? Yeah. I think about that all the time because I really can't, like, we can't hold on to these things that have happened as if they're not here for a reason.
What were you doing after that? So like the vision, you're like, you know.
Yeah, so I guess I got.
Was that near the end?
That was like, you know, some of the stories I was just talking about were probably like 2018, 2017.
Okay.
So then like I kind of mellowed out. I kind of got into ketamine, which I feel like LSD and mushrooms and DMT are kind of these like very high frequency sort of dimensions that you can tap into. And I feel like ketamine is a very low dimensional frequency. Like, it's kind of a low vibrational trip where I sort of felt really, like, susceptible and, like, kind of vulnerable to entities that, like, had less of my goodwill in mind.
Okay. You know? Each drug is a certain vibration.
This one
was the one where this was happening.
Yeah, it was, like, pretty low.
Yeah.
You know? And it's because it like it sedates you in a way where you still feel this like trippy thing, but you kind of can't, you know, the thoughts are coming in. And like when the spooky thoughts come in, you know, my brain was just kind of like, sure.
So like, ketamine was good or bad or middle or that's not simple.
Yeah, it's too simple. I think, it, you know, it's pretty dissociative and pretty negative. It's very addictive. But I sort of got into that. And then, yeah, my best friend passed away.
What happened with how your friend passed away?
There's a lot of different people have different opinions. I don't know. There was like COVID was just starting and he had like sleep apnea, but he was also like definitely doing drugs at the same time. So he passed and it was on December 12th, 12/12, And there was a 12 p.m. full moon in Taurus that day, which I was like, damn, that's auspicious. And then, yeah, I was dating a girl that had the same back piece as him, same back tattoo, which was really strange. And we were having a bad time. And I was like, you know, I think I need to, like, get out of New York. Like, you know, I'm just I'm stuck in this cycle of, like, delivering and everything I kind of like that's here. It's sort of like, you know, this, like, the cycle had, like, sort of ended. So my birthday is 12/21 at 21/21. So in between 12/12 and 12/21, I went to his funeral and, like, this big crazy thing happened. And I left right before, like, a big, like, fight broke out. It was really gnarly. And which was kind of interesting that, like, he sort of, like, pushed me to miss some traumatic stuff happening. And then I was like, yeah, you know, I think I'm going to leave New York. I got a van. I drove to L.A. And then 12 days later, the pandemic happened.
What fight did he help you to avoid?
Just, like, some shit broke out at his funeral, you know, that I didn't have anything to do with. It was just interesting that I kind of, like, had this weird, like, foresight to just be like, oh, I got to get out of here.
There's too many 12s and too many 21s. I agree. Yeah. I co-sign. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, cool. Like, and then I got a van and I drove very slowly because it was during Pisces Mercury retrograde. You're not really supposed to travel. So I was sort of freaked out. And then I moved into a house on Leap Day in Eagle Rock. And then a few days later, that was the 28th, a few days later on the 11th, the pandemic happened. So I just got to California. I, like, basically avoided my tiny apartment delivering lifestyle that I would have been stuck in New York and just sort of, like, bypassed, like, the fight.
20th of what?
20th of what?
28th of what, you gang?
28th of February.
Cool. Got it.
Yeah, leap day.
Got it.
And then March 11th, the pandemic popped off. So then I was kind of, like, stuck here. Like, didn't have any furniture. Like, nothing was open. Like, you know, there was, like, one taco place that was open down the street from my house. And
hardcore the fuck, yeah.
Yeah, so I just, like, smoked weed and fucking bothered my roommates, talked to them about, like, fucking QAnon at the breakfast table for every day, and they...
That COVID money.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, COVID Enjoy. Money. COVID money was popping. Yeah, it was chill. So I was just, like, smoking way too much weed and, like, being annoying, you know, to the people around me, and kind of, like, trying to process all this stuff that had happened, all these, like, traumatic fucking weird things, and I'm, like, only have this, like, married couple to talk to who, like, don't want to talk to
you just met.
I knew him, like, from Dead Tour a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, one of the dudes is actually, my birthday is 12/21, his is 6/21, so we're literally complete astrological opposites.
That's pretty Grateful Dead to be like, yo, come on, it's all good. Yeah. We were there, yeah, I remember you, come on.
Yeah, first time I met him, I was like, oh, shit. I was wearing his band shirt, and I was like, oh, shit, what's up? And I, like, gave him a hit of acid, and he was like, cool, we're friends now. You know, it's like that easy, which is, you know, whatever. But I was just, you know, I was like, oh, anyone I've met in this magical place is, like, put in my life for all these perfect reasons, and we're the soul family now. And they were just, like, normal people trying to fucking make it through a pandemic. And I'm, like, spooked out. There's actually a kid that lived behind us that was 12. His birthday is 12/12.
Trip out.
Yeah.
So they were cool with you there, but it's kind of annoyed, like, yo, this fool.
Yeah, after, like, 11 months, they were like, you know, you should probably move out. And I was like, you know, I was pretty hurt, but definitely understood. And then I moved into this place in Altadena and then had a gas leak immediately for 4 months and went into psychosis, like, without doing drugs.
Where in Altadena?
Los Robles and, like, right by Christmas Tree Lane.
Okay, yeah. I that's where I got high in the pandemic in Altadena.
Yeah, we were right down the street from each other.
Gas leak. Could you smell it, or you didn't know what's up to you? Side effects.
I smelled it at first. It was kind of weird, though, because the technician was a deadhead. So I was like, oh, you know, and then I had this, like, suspicion that something was wrong. So I called him. I was like, yo, I think I smell gas. And he, like, sent me this long text and then this video of, like, all this, like, stuff. But, like, mentally I was already fucking kind of fucked up because I had been in the gas for, like, 24 hours or whatever.
24 hours is enough?
I think so, dude.
Wow.
Yeah, they told me it was, like, a 25% gas leak, which is, like, enough to kill you for sure. Wow. Like, over time.
Yeah.
So I'm just, like, deep pandemic depression locked in. I would take, like, one hit of weed and then, like, pass out for, like, 10 hours and then get up and be like, dude, this is my fault. I'm like, what is wrong with me? I can't get motivated. Like, maybe they were right. This whole, you know, like, I was just very, like, kind of stuck in this bad frame of mind. And then it was a first floor little, like, one bedroom. And then this on the corner, there was a schizophrenic woman that was outside 24 hours a day, like, screaming.
What a bad spot. Not that pleasurable. Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. Not that fun.
Yeah. Not that fun. And it was either like this super sick place in Sunland, but I might have to be homeless for like a week, or this place right now. So I was like, whatever, I'll do the safe thing. And then I end up in this fucked up situation. Like,
dark as fuck before the light comes.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. So yeah, and then I would like link up with these people and like go do ketamine and fucking Inglewood for 4 days.
Inglewood, ketamine.
Yeah, start to feel better and then be like, wow, you know, because I was not in a fucking gas leak apartment. Listening to
simple
this.
Simple things.
Like, listening to this like woman talk to like demons like directly outside my window every day. So I was like, you know, and then, you know, because I'm like, I don't know. I don't really feel like I'm having a spiritual experience unless I'm interacting with other people a lot of the time. Like when I wake up, I'm just like, what, you know, whatever. Oh, my fucking, I got a vacuum or whatever. But then when I'm like, I was constantly relating my own mental state and psychic like experience to this woman who's like having the most extreme bad psychic experience outside. So it was not a good place for me to be.
Did you communicate with her or talk with her ever? Or just
totally, no, you know what, 100% I never did. Not. Well, sometimes I'd come back and she'd be like in my like carport or whatever, and I would like ask her to leave or whatever, but
would she respond or she was moved?
Yeah,
she'd
say that it was her house and like,
oh, so she's combative.
Yeah, she was pretty combative.
Well, okay.
But yeah, it was just super, it was dark. And then, figured out it was a gas leak, kind of reconnected with those people that helped me on that dead tour that I had met, the t-shirt guys.
Like, yo, like I got a gas leak.
Well, they just kind of hit me up and they were like, yo, like, you know, we're going on this Grateful Dead tour. Like the person who's going to do it can't do it. Like, can you do it? Like we used to come on tour with us. You know how to do this. You sell merch for bands and stuff. So they were like, you know, do you want to do this? And I was like, I just, like, my pandemic money's about to run out. And I really don't want to be in this apartment ever again because I have all these, like, this horrible experience here. So then I just hit the road for, like, 2.5 months. Super great. Still doing acid and kind of, like, definitely not sober yet. But great experience and got me out of there. And then, for the next 4 summers, that's what I've been doing. And then this past summer, I actually got to do it sober, which was sick. Way better. But yeah, it's kind of cool to like be cocooned by this. Like,
I was a little like worried
before I went on tour.
You're like,
I remember you telling me that. Yeah.
You're like, yo, I'm gonna go. I'm like, I was like, damn, he has no, he's not close to the herd.
I was only 4 months sober.
Yeah, like he's so close to, he's not close to like what we do. I'm like, I mean,
yeah.
I was like, yo, you'd be cool. He's like, yeah,
yeah.
I told you that. Remember? I was like,
yeah,
dude.
I know.
And you did, when you came back, I was like, fucking sick. I was like, holy fuck, he did it. Like, fuck yeah. Cause like, and now I know the backstory. It's like even more like, holy fuck yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The context of your whole thing you just told me, that's a miracle.
It was a miracle.
That's, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, yeah, there was a couple little moments. Like, one of the people I was on tour with, I got them like some mushroom chocolate and it like got all over my hands. And I was like looking at it like immediately, like I was like, lick this off your hand. Like, yeah, you should just do this. It's just mushrooms. You don't have to tell. Yeah, you don't even have to tell anybody. And I wiped it off in the grass. But there's a lot of sober people on dead tour.
Okay, cool. Good. I know that. Like, sure. Yeah.
Because
it's great.
Yeah, you kind of don't end up there unless you're a drug addict.
So did you meet some sober people? Like, oh, I'm sober too.
Yeah. This dude. Awesome. This dude came up and he was like asking about one of my people, and I was like, oh, he's not here. But and then he saw, they give you these little stickers that say one show at a time. Or another dopeless hope fiend.
Dude, I wish I was a deadhead. I mean, like,
you can be, dude.
Dude, yeah.
You can be anytime. I'll send you some shit.
Dude, yeah.
It's an infinitely interesting environment.
I'm so down to go if you ever go.
We're doing eight weeks in Vegas.
Straight?
8 weekends in Vegas coming up in May.
Okay.
But at the Sphere. It's going to be a trip.
Oh, sick. That thing's, it looks crazy.
Yeah,
they move the eyeball thing. It's like, that's a trip in itself.
Even just that, like, I'll get high on that. I'll just sit in the seat.
Yeah. Know?
But yeah, spinning around and dancing and shit is kind of like my get high now. But yeah, this dude came up and he saw my sticker and he just like gave me a big hug. And he's like, I got 19 years. You can do it. Our higher power's in there. The higher power happens when the music happens. Like, you're going to get through this. We all have your back. And then he walked away and I just started like fucking crying. It was like very unexpected, but it was such a, I don't know, it's just such a beautiful community of people that have like been through so much stuff and they know how to like help people through.
I have a similar experience. When I had 4 months, I was in the Bay and I opened up the big book to a random page, really. Opened it up and it was this story, random, first hit. I just opened it up randomly and started reading and it's called On the Move. And it's this guy that got diagnosed with multiple sclerosis at 28 years old when I was 28.
Brother.
I just surf around. I just opened that mother and I started, I immediately just started crying in my dad's house, just bawling. I've arrived, like I'm supposed to fucking be here.
Dude. Yeah.
I was like, holy shit, dude. Like,
and somebody else carved out a fucking lane that you can just, a beam that you can just hop on.
Yeah, it was real quick. The sentence were like, and then suddenly my legs got weaker, but I still lost my balance. And then I realized after a stinging test, I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And it was just a quick one because it was just suddenly like just three sentences. It wasn't this long like diatribe. You know, it's just like, boom.
Yeah.
And I was like, I just started bawling. Like, oh my God.
Remember what page it was?
It's 5468. Yeah. And it's about, and I actually met this guy.
Wow.
I talked with him 6 months before he passed away.
Wow.
Yeah. And I get hope from him because when I was talking with him, he had his nurse, his hospice nurse, hold the phone to his ear because he was completely disabled.
Yeah.
And he was bedridden, he said, for the past 2 years.
Yeah.
And one thing I got away from him, that I learned from him mostly, he said, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly.
Yeah.
And that always resonates with me because, like, oh, I don't have a girlfriend, I don't have a job, I don't have this, I don't have that. Sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly.
Yeah, I get that, you know, too.
Because some things are quick, some things are slow. And it really helped. Give him saying that, this fool that's like, this man that's in this, like, incapacitated, completely paralyzed, and being happy and serenity, like, with the phone, I was like, okay, cool.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, then I had to coordinate emails with him because the hospitals were so busy doing other things.
Yeah.
And I emailed, and then finally I got the email back. Someone in the program was like, hey, I'm sorry, unfortunately, I need to tell you that, like, Bob Kozlov passed away, like a few weeks ago. And I was like, fuck. So,
damn, shout out to Bob Kozlov. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, we're all, it's so crazy how, remember our friend Matt talking about, on another podcast, talking about how he felt like he wasn't even, like, doing the drugs for himself. He was kind of doing it sort of as, like, an investigative journalist who then would, like, report back on it at some point. And I remember getting high and thinking that, like, oh, I'm doing research right now. And, like, I would never write it down. But I'm like, you know, this is kind of it, though. Like, we get to, like, because I remember talking to him and being like, dude, like, you know, all that, like, research that you did, like, you talk about it every week now to other people that, like, have had fucked up shit, and it helps them contextualize their own lives through our experiences, you know, which is like the beauty of like this thing.
I think your story from beginning to end, you really gel well with working with people.
And I love just, people, dude.
Yeah, you always from like the hardcore, then to this, then to that, then to this, you know, then Grateful Deadhead, and then everything, you're always able to extrapolate and get the most out of whatever group you're in. I think you're thriving here because you have the same exact, like, dedication, whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
Whether you're fucking trying to hurt somebody or you're trying to help somebody, you're like, you're all in, you're all out.
Yeah, I think in all of the, like, kind of circles that I found myself in, this is, like, sort of the fourth one or whatever, and it's the same description I would say for all of the other stuff I described, where it's, like, a beautiful place for everyone to come, get rid of themselves, interact with other people. Like, you, like, even in hardcore, like, unity was my big thing, you know?
Yeah.
And, but then I'd, like, fucking headbutt somebody because I felt like they were trying to be against my unity or whatever. Not really the case. Or, like, Grateful Dead thing, unity, everybody. Like, dude, I remember being in New York in a trip on everything. And the, like, a bunch of people were, too many people, so this, I've heard about this happening in the 60s and shit, where if too many people were smoking DMT, it would fuck with the circuitry of the music. And everyone in the spinner section in New York City made all of the sound go out in the whole building. But where I was in my trip was spinning with all these people, and I felt, I was consciously shooting a big green heart chakra cannon of love at everyone as I was spinning 360. And in my trip, when it would hit people, it would cause them to do it. So then we were like sending out all of this like loving, unified energy to everyone. And then the fucking music cut out. Whatever, you know.
Whatever.
Coincidence.
Whatever.
I guess. But to me, where I was, it wasn't a coincidence at all.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, perception of reality, whatever you, it's what, yeah, what you make of it.
And I actually met a girl that day that was on mushrooms and I was on a bunch of other stuff. And I went like this and like tried to create like a little like vortex with my hand. And she also saw it on a completely different drug. It's like, I don't know what the fuck that means. It was sick.
Wow. So yeah, man. Like, thanks for coming through, dude. This
was amazing. No problem.
Yeah, like I learned so much about you.
Thanks.
Yeah, and you're
yeah, you too.
You're eloquent. So just it was great.
Yeah, dude. My pleasure.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I've been yeah, what a nice yeah, it's nice to really
hopefully
heavy bullshit we carry around all the time.
I'm so grateful for you to be here.
Yeah, man. Thank you. Anytime.
Cool. Lords of Chaos with my homie Zach. Peace out.
Hell yeah, bro.